We've been talking about Piers Morgan's article in the Mail. Headline, if black Americans want the N-word to die, they'll have to kill it themselves. Well, we thought it only polite to get the man on the radio. Piers Morgan joins us now. Hi, Piers.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, what motivated you to write this column?
Well, there was a very powerful front page investigation in the Washington Post on Monday, which just had a huge banner headline, about half the page, saying the N-word. And it concluded, on the basis of a large number of reports by its top investigative team, that the prevalence of the N-word in American language and society is greater than it's ever been. And I thought that was an extraordinary fact, and I looked into it in more detail. I read the piece. I saw their digital attachment to it, which was riveting if you haven't seen it. And they concluded that, apparently, statistically now, the N-word is used 500,000 times every day on Twitter alone, and predominantly by young black African Americans. And it just struck me that this was a good time to write a column just questioning whether the increased use of the N-word is the best way to deal with what in most people's eyes is the most repulsive word in the English language.
Interesting tweet I've got here from somebody who says that word was used to dehumanise an entire race. If you know true black history, you wouldn't use it. And is that part of the problem, that actually young black youths in America and indeed in this country have no idea of the origin of the word?
Well, I don't know if they don't know the origin. What I think is more worrying in America in particular, where it's such a hot button issue, far more than it is in England, for example, is that a lot of the schools now just have a lot of young kids, white and black, who use the N-word as part of their daily language. And as someone myself who's got four kids, I don't like that situation. It doesn't seem to me to be a good way of dealing with it. Now, you know, young African-Americans who responded to me on Twitter have said, look, we absolutely understand the background to this word. We are reclaiming this word. We are owning it for ourselves, and we're therefore tackling the racists who abused it with us in the best possible way. But I think that in the same way that I hear members of the gay community using the F word, not the conventional F word, but the other F word, the Tottenham Hotspur fans who are predominantly Jewish, who like to use the Y word about each other, to women who use the B word with each other, and I don't want to spell any of these out, but I'm sure your listeners can guess what they are. I understand the thinking, and I empathize with the reason why people in those communities who've been abused in that way feel the best way to tackle it is to try and reclaim the word. But there comes a point when all you actually end up doing, I think, by propagating the use of that word, is encouraging the moronic fools out there, the bigots and the idiots that we see all the time, particularly now on social media, from using it again and again themselves in an abusive manner. And so, to me, it seems a good time to start a debate or to continue a debate that many have had here. I mean, Oprah Winfrey said all this way before I did, that actually it's time to consider just removing the N-word completely from the lexicon.
But you see, that's an interesting point. You mention Oprah Winfrey there. Several people have been commenting on Twitter over the course of the last 40 minutes since we've been talking about this, saying, well, is Piers Morgan the right person to communicate this message, a middle-aged white man? Wouldn't this be better coming from somebody who is from an ethnic minority?
Well, listen, I personally think that's a rather facile response. I mean, the idea that just simply because of the colour of my skin, I can't talk about a race issue is in itself fairly ironic. I'd also point out that for the last 3.5 years, I ran a nightly cable news show in America in which I regularly debated race issues. I mean, I was in the vanguard, for example, during the Trayvon Martin story, of defending that dead black teenager's human rights and rights to justice. Nobody in the African-American community in America, to my memory, told me to stay in my lane during the reporting of that story. Mm. So I don't think you can pick and choose when somebody with a white skin decides to immerse himself into a debate about a race issue. I just don't think you can. And I've always been, I think, at the forefront in any journalism I've done of trying to support civil rights. Part of my argument here, I'll make that point at the end, is look, as a white man, I don't have any right to tell anybody in the black community whether they can use or not use the N-word. But as someone who's always supported civil rights, I think it would be the right thing to do now for the black community to say, we're not going to use it anymore.
It's difficult, though, isn't it, to artificially eradicate a word from a language. That has to happen naturally. There's no one that can say...
What's happened in South Africa, interestingly, a lot of South Africans have told me that the hated K word, and again, I won't spell it out, but if you don't know what it is, you can Google it and work out what it was. It was the equivalent of the N word in South Africa during apartheid. And you don't get many black South Africans at all using that with each other in conversation. Mm. And you don't get many white South Africans doing it now because they would get their faces filled in if they did, and quite rightly. So you can actually eradicate the use. You can't ban a word, you can't uninvent a word, but you can make it fairly intolerable for anybody to use it in public if everybody agrees that it should be no longer used and no longer tolerated.